think it's gonna hold?
I will put it across.
I put more.
It's worth it.
Good morning, everybody. You guys want to stand with us as we get into worship this morning? Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for bringing us all to your house this morning. Thank you for getting us here safely, God. We ask that you would bless the service. Hallelujah. Amen.
Forever and ever.
from the noise, alone with you, away, away, to hear your voice, and meet with you. Nothing else matters. My one desire is to worship you. I live to worship you. I live to worship you.
To worship you, I live.
To worship you I live, to worship you I live to worship you.
Oh, my God. Father, we recognize your greatness and your love, Father Jesus. We just sign about that, Jesus. Father, we want our your love, Father, to be dwelling in our hearts, Jesus. Father, so we be compassionate like you have been with us, Jesus. Father, for you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for everything you've done for us, Jesus. In the precious name of Father, the Father, we pray, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. You might have a seat. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome home. What a great worship. Let's keep it up with the worship team. Thank you, guys. Well, this month is a great month. How many of you can feel the season already? It's fall, right? We're already in the middle of fall. It'll be winter very quickly. December, I think it starts in December, right? And as such, we have a lot of activities going on, and I just want to quickly go through it. Don't forget, before we continue, that this month, October, is the Pastor's Appreciation Month. And we do have a great, great pastoral staff. We are so blessed with them. Pastor Robbie, and Pastor Sydney, and Pastor Luna, Martha, Pastor Mitch, Pastor Destiny, and on and on and on. And I just want to remind you guys to keep them in prayer as they lead our church and our outreach. And also, if you would like to send them a card, send them some money, send them to Hawaii, anything that comes to your heart, I'm sure they will appreciate it. And also, this month we have our outreach on October 31st, which is up here in the parking lot. We are preparing to do that. And we're still looking for volunteers. As a matter of fact, tomorrow between 9 and 2 o'clock, you know, give and take, there's going to be some work done, some mulching, there's going to be some cleaning up. Pastor Robbie is going to be leading that. So if you do want to take the day off from work and work, you can come here. And if you are retired and you feel like you want to help, you can come. If you're in high school and want to talk, no, just sit. Anybody in high school here? We have a great opportunity to reach out to the neighborhood. As you all know, we've done this for a couple of years now, a few years, and this is a great opportunity. So we're still looking for volunteers. You can sign up over there at the table on the front and lobby. You can bring some candies, and we will appreciate your help in that. See Pastor Robbie or call the office if you have any questions about how to help. We can provide some guidance there. The senior adults are meeting on October 25th at 10 a.m. So if you are a senior or you feel like a senior, you can come and share with the group. This is a great group. We just had an immense breakfast yesterday, and it was a great time that we shared among all the men. We had a great time. So we encourage you know, next month to also attend to these meetings. Let me talk about women now. We have a women's breakfast at the end of the month, the 27th at 10 a.m. So if you want to come to hear the word and share some breakfast items and fellowship, this is a great opportunity for the women to come in and spend some time together. But also, there is, if you see on the bulletin on the lower right corner, there is a Faith Minder workshop. And I'm going to try to describe this as good as possible. This is for women. This is a great opportunity to share with others, and you'll be able to put together some journals, and it's like a craft club. You know, how many of you guys or gals like to do that kind of stuff? That's not for me. I can work with those level of details. But aren't we glad for the women, because they do take time to put things in details, and sometimes they help to organize us men, our lives, you know, because they're so detailed. So we thank God for that. There is a deadline if you want to participate by October 29th. It only costs like $5. If you have any questions, you can see Shaban, or you can call the office and they'll give you more details on it. I think this is a great opportunity, and if you want to participate, just be mindful of the dates. But without further ado, I'm going to ask Pastor to come up and share the word with us. Thank you, Pastor, for your dedication. Thank you.
That's
told Lewis it was like a secret diary club, the book thing, so I don't know about that. But anyway, listen, we're glad you're here this morning. I want to welcome you to Life Point Church, and I'm going to ask the ushers to come on, and we're going to take up our offering. We have some guests this morning that are going to take a few moments and share the ministry they have that God's put on their heart, and it's really cool stuff. They're out in the foyer this morning. The Rodriguez family here from Alabama. I'm not even going to share anything. I'm going to let them share it all. Anyway, I'm going to just say a prayer over this offering. Just want to tell you, thank you for being faithful here at Life Point Church. I see God doing a lot of things here. And I know we've been through transition, and some of you have been through multiple transitions with the church. I thank you for your patience as we journey together. But I'm telling you, God has something great in store for Life Point Church. Amen.
Amen.
For this community of Sunrise, for Broward County, Florida, I believe God is going to use this place in a powerful way. And this is part of God using us right here. It's just being faithful in this giving. Father, we come before you as your servants today, and we honor you right now, God. We say thank you. We say thank you as being our faithful provider. God, your hand has touched every part of our life, and everything we have has come from you, and we thank you for that today, God. You've been faithful. We honor you in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you as you give. I want to turn it over and let them run a video real fast here.
Through every storm of life, I know you're by my side. So I am holding on to your promises. You are the God who holds my future, all my dreams. So I am holding on. Was overcome. A second chance to sing a brand new song. You opened up my eyes to see. You rescued me. Rescued me. You showed the way when there was no way out. Cleared up my mind when you erased all doubt. You made me strong when I.
In my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my trouble. Your truth will hold. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa. You are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness. I will follow you. To show.
Anyway, but
But my name is Ozlyn Rodriguez, and I'm the founder of Backpack International. I was born in Guyana, South America, not Ghana, Africa. We love Ghana, but we're from South America. And I just want to share that I want to thank Pastor Robbie for allowing us to come here. We connected with Pastor Robbie last year, earlier this year rather, and he was able to help us to provide backpacks for over 500 children in Guyana, South America. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I'm so thankful to you, Pastor Robbie, because we were not only able to bless the children in those villages, but we were able to bless other churches that they could also do vacation Bible school. So this is making a difference, and I want to thank you for your opportunity, for this opportunity. Thank you for having a heart of compassion for others. I'm going to introduce Charisse.
Good morning, everybody. Praise the Lord, church. My name is Charisse Irons, and I am the secretary for Backpack International. But Ozlyn and I have been friends for a long time now. I won't say how long, because then they'll figure out our ages. So when she told me what she wanted to do, it was a no-brainer for me. We support each other, and we support our friends. But one of the things I would say is that as I was watching the video, the thing that came to my mind was just the openness of all the children there. I learned so much from them about being open to Jesus, being open to, it wasn't about the backpacks. They want the backpacks and that's fun too, but they were open to Jesus. They raised their hands and they praised the Lord and they gave themselves to the Lord. And that was what I liked the most about it. So if you're here and you're a Christian and you're called and God has put something in your heart, you need to act. We cannot be on the sidelines of life anymore as Christians. Okay? And so my brother's going to come and give you a quick little word.
God bless you. God bless you so much. I just wanted to tell you something. You know, preaching in other churches and sharing in other churches, I want to compliment you because the Spirit of the Lord is here. If you've been here for any period of time, you know the Pentecost is alive and well, and it's alive and well in here. And I'm so excited when I met Pastor Robbie because his heart is for evangelism, as you know, and his heart is for the community. So I encourage you to work with your pastor, go out there, and I'm telling you, God's got great things for this church. Close to a tip, as you know. So God bless you in your endeavors. What is missions all about? Why do we go on mission trips? Let's see, it's to get a vacation. Answer number one. Is that the right answer? Answer number two, perhaps. It's to go and bless somebody with the great gifts that God has given you. No, that's not really true either, is it? Answer number three, it's to walk in obedience and to let God move. That's the right answer. God put a call, a desire on my wife's heart to go back to her native land of Guyana. And she answered. What did God do? He moved. How did he move? He moved in obedience because kids have not received backpacks, but they receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the greatest gift we can ever give anyone. To tell them about what Jesus did for us, to tell them how he met us wherever we were at and how he made us whole. I encourage you today, I believe commissions are being said today, if God has spoken to your heart, if the Holy Spirit has moved in your heart, to go somewhere, to join a mission. I was so excited to hear in the first service that you're all getting ready to go to Russia. God bless you for that. God's going to use you. He's going to raise you up and he's going to raise a testimony in and through you. What's the second reason to go on missions? It's to encourage one another. It's to go and to tell others that God loves them. You know what heaven looks like? It looks a lot like this church. Every tribe, every nation. So encouraging to see a multi-ethnic church. We come from Alabama. And I got to tell you, sometimes they're not that well mixed. But I want to let you know this. The third reason for going is simply to be a part of the Great Commission. Jesus said in Matthew 28:19, what did he say, church? Did he say go and give out backpacks? No. Did he say go and get conversions? No. He said go and make disciples. I shared that with the first service, but then there's a second part in the next verse. It says go and teach them in the way, instruct them in another verse. We're to raise disciples. We're to teach them about the way of life. We're to teach them about our unique Pentecostal testimony. You saw us give out 500 backpacks. Not about us. It's about everyone who volunteered and everyone who was part of the team. But I've got great news for you because there's a wonderful opportunity. Because the Lord said, that's not enough. It's not enough. Because you can give somebody a testimony, you can sow a seed, but if it blows away, if there's no foundation, if no root is taken, then you basically wasted your time. The person will be in a worse condition than before. But I want to let you know this. We have spoken to the district in Guyana. They have given us permission to start a church. And that first, the second part of 28:19 says go
create disciples and do what? Baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So how does Trinity Assembly of God in West Coast Burgess in the village of Ross sound to you? God is going to make that happen. So God bless you today.
That's good stuff. What he said in the first service was they were going to be planning an Assembly of God church in Guyana there. And how many of you would like to help support that?
Amen.
He said again, we will support that. Why? Because God is concerned. God has compassion. As we begin to walk through this journey here at LifePoint Church, what God's going to allow us to be a part of in missions and around this world is going to be a big part of who we are. And it's going to impact us, and it's going to impact life. There's going to be children being born today that maybe in 2 years from now are in a situation where someone has the tool of a backpack because you gave. They have a backpack in their hand that has a gospel message inside of it. That would have never have known any different. And they're going to say, you know what? I'm going to read this little book right here. Or maybe they walk for the first time into that church that's not even there yet. Or like our brother said, maybe somebody in Russia. By the way, we're going to Russia. I forgot to tell you. Thanks for the announcement. It's all good. No, I'm telling you, it's all good because I've said Russia a few times. Why? Because that's where we're going to go. And I just met with the lady in between services. She was here this morning to give us the date. So I'm telling you, I'm not going to throw the dates out there yet, but we're going to have a meeting for anybody interested in going on a mission trip to Teen Challenge in Russia. Siberia Teen Challenge. It is crazy. It's cold in Siberia. There's prisons in Siberia. There's the least of them in Siberia, but you will be just fine. And I want you to go. We're going to take a team, and I'm going to probably announce to you next week the informational meeting. How many of you would be interested in going to Siberia just by show of hands? Two people? That's it? Come on now. No, I know I'm going to change my message this morning. No, it's all good. Listen, but we'll get there. And we're going to be doing a few trips a year, short-term mission trips. We're going to have missionaries coming through. Why? Because God is concerned. You and I should be concerned about the kingdom of God. Amen? This morning, I'm concerned about a few things, though. I'm concerned about what's going on in your life, first and foremost, today. And I want to start in Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. Oh, this is going to encourage somebody today. How many of you need to be encouraged by the Word of God this morning? Listen to me. This is for you. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and the opening of prison doors to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And the day of vengeance of our God to comfort those who mourn. God wants to comfort somebody this morning. To console those who mourn in Zion. And to give beauty for ashes. Let me say that one again. To give beauty for ashes. God wants to change something in your life today.
Amen.
I believe that. Amen. To console those in the oil of joy for mourning. The oil of joy for mourning. I love this last part. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Man, how many of you have ever been under the spirit of heaviness before? Just wake up one morning. You'll get it real easy. Trust me. It comes a lot. But I'm telling you, listen to me this morning. God wants to break you free from something. God wants to change something in your life. The enemy has come in like a flood, but God said, I'm going to raise up a standard. And there is no reason that the believer should come to the house of God, worship, praise, hear the word of God, and walk out of here defeated today. Now, I'm not going to try to minimize anything and say that you're not going through some serious stuff, but I'm telling you, God has the ability to break that junk. God has the ability to set you free this morning. God has the ability to give you the oil of joy. If there's one thing the church of today needs, it's a good pouring of joy on us. Amen? When we leave out of here, people should know we've been to church. Watch out now. Somebody ready to go to Russia just yet? We're gonna see what happens. It's all good. It's all good. But we're going to talk about a story this morning. Jesus takes this verse, takes this portion of Scripture out of Isaiah, and he brings it up in Luke chapter 4. He says the same thing. He says the same exact thing in Luke chapter 4. I'll just start there this morning. It's all good. He goes and he's talking in Nazareth. Where was he from? Jesus of... He was from there. He was in his hometown. He walks into the synagogue. He takes the scroll and he begins to read this. He begins saying to them, today... Somebody say today.
Today.
Well, what if that scripture is fulfilled today? Somebody didn't catch that. He said, what if it was fulfilled? I'm saying, what if it's fulfilled today in your life? Or do you not need it? Does anybody here not need it? He began to say to them, let me back up. He began to say to them that today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Verse 22. So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Now look at that. He had just spoken Isaiah 61. He just said this to these people. This was his hometown. You'll remember this portion of Scripture. That's when they began to say, who is this man? Verse 28. Isn't this the old carpenter's son? Surely he can't have these words coming out of his mouth. And let me tell you something. That's one of the old tricks the enemy will use to throw up your past or where you came from or what you came through to make you believe you can't have anything from God. Let me tell you, that's a lie. Amen. And today I believe God's going to set somebody free in this place. Amen. I believe something you've been carrying around needs to be let go of today. How many of you are like the show Hoarders? Don't raise your hand right now because we have cameras in here. People will know you. And you store stuff, you know what I mean? Your closet, you open the door and it's like an avalanche. Got stuff from 1975 packed up in there. Your old records and stuff. But let me tell you, it's one thing to do it in your house, it's another thing to do it in your soul. It's another thing to carry around baggage and stuff that God does not design us to carry. And there's people filling churches this morning that are upset and mad about people that are dead even. You hear what I'm saying? I believe God wants to set somebody free this morning. You've made mistakes? Who's made a mistake? If you ever wonder who makes mistakes, just get a mirror out. Look in it real good. That's normally who makes mistakes. Us humans. God wants to set people free. God wants to bring life to you today. God wants to bring life to something to you today that you thought was dead. Listen to me now. So here he goes. He's prophesying. He's prophesying in the synagogue in Nazareth. Verse 28. So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. They got mad. They didn't want to hear it. They knew who he was. They knew where he came from. Some people know where you came from too. They'll always throw your past up. You know, all that stuff. So they're mad because they're thinking there's no way a carpenter's son from Nazareth, from this town, can be saying this stuff in this synagogue. And they rose up and thrust him out of the city. And they led him to the brow of the hill on which the city was built, that they may throw him down off the cliff. You ever had somebody in your life, and every time they opened their mouth, you wanted to put a shoe in it? I never met anybody like that. I have, too. Some of y'all live with people like that, but I ain't saying that. I ain't going there. That's the way these people felt about Jesus when he opened his mouth. They didn't want to hear it. Why? Because they didn't believe that this man from where he came from was who he said he was. And let me tell you, you'll face that in your life if you begin to proclaim the gospel. You'll begin to have those people come at you like, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are telling me how to live? All that stuff. But here he is on the side of this hill, and I want you to just catch the picture before we actually get to the message this morning. He's prophesied. What did he tell them? He told them Isaiah. He told them the word of the scripture. Then he said, you will what? Hear and see this prophecy fulfilled when? Today. So he's telling them, you're fixing to see it. You're fixing to see this thing. And what they want to do? Kill him. I hope nobody wants to kill me this morning, but I'm just trying to say, I hope today this prophecy is fulfilled in your life. Why? Because this is still the living word of God. It's just alive today as it was the day he said it. So he gets on over here. He says, this day you will hear this prophecy. And I want to tell you, Jesus begins his ministry now, and he comes to this place. He comes to a few places. This is very early in his ministry in Luke chapter 7. We're going to start probably in verse number 9. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed, I say to you, I have not found such what? Great faith, even in Israel. Even in Israel, even of the people that I came for, I haven't seen faith like this. And there was a crowd following him, and this is why it's so important that you and I spend time studying and understanding Scripture so we don't get confused. These people would have had a tendency to be confused because they didn't have anything to read other than the Old Testament. They're watching what he's doing. He walks up to this soldier comes up to him, centurion soldier, says, you know, so-and-so, my daughter's sick, can you heal her? Jesus said what? Let it be. Because of your faith, she'll be made whole. Now, the issue with that is if we had stopped reading right there, we would think it's only by faith. Right? Now, do we have to have faith as a believer? Is faith pleasing to God? Did God deal to each one of us a measure of faith? Well, let me take you a little bit deeper. Let me take you one step further, because if they had stopped right there, these people would have been saying this to each other. If we don't have great faith, he'll never do anything. We've got to have the greatest faith of all. We got to have this great faith for God to move in our life. Then Jesus does this story thing, and he flips the whole thing around in verse number 11. Now it happened the day after he was in Capernaum, the day after he goes to the next place here, the day after he went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him in what? The large crowd. There was a crowd following Jesus now. There was a crowd. Let me tell you something. There are crowds still following Jesus. Some for the right reason and some for not so much the right reason. They were following Jesus because he was doing miracles. He fed 5,000 people with some fish and bread. I mean, if you were hungry, I'd follow him too. You know, you might catch something to eat. I don't know. They were following. Some of them were following only because of his signs and what he could do. They didn't know who he was. Don't follow him just because of what he can do. So they're following this great crowd. Here they are. And Jesus walks them down to the city. Walks them down to the city. If you'll remember, we started this story. He was in Nazareth. Right? I'm going to come back to that in a minute. And when he came near to the city gate, behold, a dead man was being carried out. The only son of his mother. And she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still, and he said, young man, I say to you, arise. So he who was dead sat up and began to speak. That would freak you out right there. I'm just saying. And he presented him to his mother. Then the fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people. Come on now. How many of you need God to visit you today? I'm going to tell you what, some of y'all are going through some things that only God can fix. And he will visit you. He will visit you. Listen. The thing about this story that I want you to catch is we started with the story of a man who had great faith. And so if we're not careful, we only think that people with great faith get the visit. Now that might be true, but I'm going to say let's go a step further and just think. This woman hadn't been recorded saying anything. She didn't cry out for mercy. She didn't ask for help. We don't know if she had faith or not. All we know is she was taking her son to the cemetery. Not only was she taking her son, she was a widow. Meaning she had already lost her husband. Now she's taking her son. In this culture, this was a big deal. It was a big deal because in the Jewish culture, when the father died, guess who had to step in, according to the law, to step in and take care of their mother? The son. That was in the law. Now that he's gone, guess who's left? Nobody. You ever been left with nobody before? You ever felt like you had nobody? Some people in this room know what I'm talking about. It's a lonely feeling. But the Bible says that Jesus had compassion. I'm going to say it again. The Bible says that Jesus had compassion on this woman. This large crowd was following. Let's go back through it. This large crowd was following. And in verse 12 it says, when he came near the city gate, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. This is what you got to catch. This woman was a widow. She had nobody. We talked about it. She had her son, and now he's dead. And the thing is, the Bible gives us no real instruction as far as what happened. We have no idea what happened. We don't even know if she knew Jesus. I'm going to assume that she may not have, but she might have. We can argue about this Tuesday if y'all want to come in. I don't care. Doesn't matter. I can guarantee you this. The guy laying on the mat didn't know anything. But here she goes. Out of the gate. It's over. We got to bury him. The Bible said there was a large crowd with her. There was a large crowd with her. And see, here's the thing. Here's the reason why you think about this story that was with this woman. Because back in those days, if an elder Jewish man died, they had a ceremony, they had a funeral. But it was not that big a deal, especially if there was a son behind them. And what the Jews used to do is, and they would do it. Y'all may have seen it when you were in Israel. They would hire mourners to go along with the funeral procession. And so they would actually pay people to cry. That's a message. I hope we don't have to pay somebody to cry at your funeral, man. That'd be bad. That's bad. But that's what they used to do. You can study. That's pretty common knowledge. I mean, they paid mourners. Some religious practices still do that today. I don't think they pay them. They have professional mourners that will come sit. But I don't think these were paid mourners. Because the Bible says there was a large crowd with the city that came out with her. I think everybody knew this woman was in bad shape. And I don't know about you, and it may have, if you've ever been in a situation, and I know some of you in here have, that you've had to bury a child, that's different. There's nothing that would compare to that. It is a moment of just, it's a tough moment. And so this whole procession is leaving, and they're crying, and they're upset. But guess what? Guess who's coming? Guess who's coming? The Bible said there was another procession that was coming from Capernaum out of Nazareth that was coming down this way, but this one's coming this way. Which one are you in today? Doesn't matter. Because you might be in that death march today with a situation in your life. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a man that will meet you in the middle. There's a man that will show up. He'll show up and you don't even ask him to come. This woman was never recorded. This is not going to be in our prayer series because she didn't say anything. She was crying and upset and by herself. Anybody ever been there before? And Jesus showed up. Why? Because the Bible says he had compassion. He had compassion. Verse 13, when the Lord saw her, he wasn't even looking at the kid laying on the mat. He saw this woman. He saw a broken, hurt, lost individual. And let me tell you something, Jesus always moved for broken, hurt, lost people. How do I know? It happened to me. Jesus stepped into my life. I didn't even ask for him. Here I am. Wow, that's what happened to you. Some of you didn't even ask, and God just showed up. Some of y'all were in a messed up situation, and God just showed up. Let me tell you, some of you are in a messed up situation today. I believe God's still going to show up.
When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said, what? Do not weep. Do not weep. Remember what he said in Isaiah. Remember what he prophesied. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Pull it back up. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. This is why he could say this to this woman. He told him in that synagogue, he said, I'm fixing to show you this stuff. You better get ready. They were going to kill him. Isaiah 61, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach good things to the poor, to send me to what? Heal the brokenhearted. You think this woman was brokenhearted? Better believe it. To proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort those who... Well, that was her. That was her in verse 13. He told her, do not weep. Listen, I would never make light of a situation that people have been through. Man, I know some of you have been through some serious stuff, but never would you or I walk into the funeral of someone who's burying their child and walk up to them and say, look, don't cry. Probably get smacked upside the head if you know what I'm saying. It's not something you say. But when you're the giver of life, when you're the giver of life, you can say a calling, a relationship, whatever it is. Man, some of us are on the way to a funeral right now with something. God said, hold on just a minute. I'm fixing to change this. Who's been there before? Then he came and touched the open coffin. That was a sign right there. Why? This is why the Jews, people didn't touch things that were unclean. What did Jesus touch? He touched the unclean. You hear that? He touched you. He touched me. We were unclean. He touched them. It didn't matter what he touched. Why? Because whatever he touched was going to come alive. It wasn't going to be unclean anymore. It wasn't going to be unclean anymore. So they're standing there. He touches the coffin. Verse 14, he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. They're probably thinking, what is this guy doing? There's no record to know if they know Jesus. I'm assuming they don't. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. You remember, I know we've talked about this story here before, when Jesus was at the tomb of Lazarus? And he's talking to Martha, and she said, well, I know he's going to raise again in the last day, on the day of resurrection. And Jesus looked at her and said, let me tell you something. I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. I decide what lives and what dies. Jesus is the when the resurrection touches something dead, it comes alive. So here they are in the midst of a funeral processional. Life is coming down the mountain. These people are walking out crying and going nuts. And Jesus says, get up. Verse 15, so he who was dead sat up and began to speak. In my notes I have, are you kidding me? And I think there might be a reason why there's no record of what was said, if you know what I'm saying. Those words don't fit in the Bible, because somebody was freaking out. Same way you would have freaked out, the same way I would have freaked out. Then I got to thinking a little longer, though. What would this man have said? What would a dead man have said? I guarantee you I know what he said, because I know what I said. What do you want from me, Lord? You just saved my life. What do I do for you? That's what resurrected people say. What do I do for you? Now, it's not recorded, so don't put it in your notes. That's what I said. The dead man sat up and began to speak. Listen to what Jesus does next. He presented him to his mother. This is a story of compassion. This is a story of compassion. Now, I don't want to mislead you and misguide you in this story, because I know there's people in here that have lost people. Jesus did not give them that. And I don't understand why that always works like that. All I know is he has the power. I believe, you should believe, he has the power to do it.
Amen.
And there are probably things in your life today that are not so well that he wants to give life to.
Amen.
She received her son back. She just didn't receive her son. This woman received something that would help sustain her life. This was the one. This guy was going to do the work to provide for the family. This woman was going to be out there with nothing. And Jesus had compassion. I want to ask you this morning, do you have compassion? Do you have the Holy Spirit? Because without the Holy Spirit, you and I don't have compassion. Trust me. We have a line. And when you cross it, you crossed it. How many of you have moved your line before, if you know what I'm saying? You know, like with some people, the line's a lot closer. But with the Holy Spirit, we don't have a line. And see, the interesting thing that I don't want you to miss about this story is I believe there's a reason why we don't have all the background to it, is because he wants you and I to know you don't always have the whole story when you deal with somebody. So be careful how you look at somebody, because you don't know what they've been through to get to this point. And yeah, you see them at their worst moment, but you don't know what they went through to get here. You don't know who abandoned them. You don't know who pushed them out. Whatever. We don't know. But yet sometimes, because we go through things in life, we begin to get callous. We begin to get hard-hearted. We lose our compassion. And someone will come to us in their time of need, and our only response to them will be, look, if you weren't so... whatever we say, you wouldn't be in this position. If you would just get a job and get some money, you would be all right. You know, all this stuff. Jesus didn't say nothing. He said, get up. Here. To, for all we know, to people that didn't even know who he was. The interesting thing about this story is where it took place. Now, you can do a little study on your own this week as you do your devotion. Get you a map and literally look at how far Nazareth was from Nain. It was not that far. Nazareth, we know, was sitting on top of a hill, because what were they going to do to Jesus? Throw him off the hill. Kill him. Well, if you really look, it's not a far-fetched idea to say you could look from Nazareth and see the city of Nain. What did Jesus tell them? This is going to be fulfilled, and you'll see it and hear about it. And the very place they were trying to throw him off, if they were probably looking at the very spot that he was fixing to do something. Why? Because that was prophecy. That was what he was saying. I mean, all that stuff had a reason in the Bible. Jesus was fulfilling all that stuff. And there was a reason why they were throwing him off that hill, probably because they were fixing to look down and see the great miracle he was fixing to do. The cool thing about that story is yeah, Jesus raised a boy from the grave, but the cool thing about that story is it's the same Jesus that wants to raise something in your life today. It's the same Jesus that wants to raise something in your life today. Verse 16. Then fear came upon all them. You think? I mean, this is crazy. This is far-fetched even for us. But it's true. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Let me tell you, some people don't want Jesus into their dead self. Some people don't want Jesus to go that far. I don't mind coming and singing and worshiping on Sunday and doing my little bit, but I don't really want you getting all into that. That's been hurting me for a long time. And I've been holding on to that thing for a long time. It's part of who I am now. See, Jesus wants to bring life. And he wants to set captives free. He wants you to be healed today. He don't want you holding on to something that happened to you 15 years ago. You hear it? You hear the dysfunction in that? But Jesus had a heart of compassion. And this is why I love this story so much. Because Jesus showed up to somebody. Jesus showed up to somebody. And they didn't even ask him to show up. They didn't even ask him. Let me tell you what, there's people on these streets today. There's people in this community that are down and out. And Jesus will show up to them. Jesus will show up to those people because he loves them. Because he loved the whole world. Because he still has compassion on lost people. He will show up. And listen to me, he'll show up for you. He'll show up for you today. Remember what we talked about Wednesday night? We talked about our prayer journey. And I said, hey, who did Jesus show up for in the Gospels? Those people that said this. Have mercy. Just those people that cried out for mercy. He was right there. You're not going to work your way to Jesus. You're going to show up. I believe he's going to show up this morning. See, the illustration of this message is real simple. The illustration is real simple. There was one group of people, a large group, coming this way. The Bible said it was a large group. And there was a large group of people coming this way. This people over here were following Jesus. And they were excited. I don't know this for sure, but maybe that little girl that got healed by him was running behind him at this point, you know? Screaming and saying, "Woo! Look what he did." And then there was this woman over here who may or may not have ever heard of Jesus, was walking at the worst moment in her life. And these two were on a collision course at the bottom of a mountain they were trying to throw him off of. And he told him, he said, "Well, what you're seeing and hearing, you're going to hear and see today." So this procession of life was coming to this procession of death. One of them was going to win. One of them was going to win. And I'll say this about you and I. There's probably two processions in our life all the time. Trying to win. But I'm going to tell you what. Jesus wins every time. Jesus won every time. Why don't you stand to your feet this morning? Listen. Jesus won every time. And as they journeyed. As they came. Listen. Somebody might be in the death procession this morning. Let me break it down to you. I've been in both of them many times in my life. I would love to stand up here and say it doesn't happen to me. That I'm so spiritual and so close to God that I never have the death procession. That's not true. But I've been through enough death processions to know this. That Jesus is real. Because he always met me in that one. There were people that were following in the life procession and thought, maybe he is Jesus, maybe he's not. He gave me bread, I don't know, maybe he is. But when this woman's son got up, she knew he was real. And there's a reason why God is taking you through what you're going through. And when you get there and he touches you, you're going to say this, I know God's real. I know there's no way. There's no way that I could have made it through this with the joy I have in my... There's no way I could have made it. Unless God touched me. Unless God touched me. So I know. I know some of y'all are going through that procession this morning. But I'm going to tell you what. There's another one coming straight toward you. He didn't say a lot. He said this. It's time to get up. It's time to get up. The collision at the gate of name commonly referred to was a fulfilled prophecy. Prophecy is still being fulfilled. The prophecy was this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Isaiah 61. Because the Lord has anointed me. Preach the good news to the poor. got good news for you this morning. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Some of you have been carrying around a broken heart for way too long. We're going to open our altars in just a little bit. And I'm going to ask our missionaries to come and help us pray for people, because I believe God's going to set people free. This place right here, prophecy is going to be fulfilled. This is what Jesus did. To proclaim liberty to the captives. Meaning this, if you've got something bound you, that's bondage you're in today, God wants you to be free. God wants you to be free from bondage. This is what causes people to shout and get excited now. The procession of death were the mourners and criers. But the celebrators were in the procession of life. I believe we're going to celebrate before we leave here today. That procession of life is going to leave this building to proclaim liberty to the captive, opening of prisons to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, listen to this one, to give them beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Here's what we're going to do. I didn't tell them. The worship team is going to end this thing, because here's why. Because we're going to put on the garment of praise before we leave. The garment of praise. Why? Because listen to me, it's not just that the processions met each other, but the procession of death became part of the procession of life. And they went back into the city. And so you're fixing to go back where you came from with a new song and a new testimony. Listen to me. It's not easy letting go, church. It's not easy letting go. It's not easy. It's not easy letting go. You know why? Because we don't know what you've been through. I don't know what you've been through. I know this. People in this room have been through some hard stuff. Right now you're going through some hard stuff, but God wants to release it from you today. To be set free. Who needs that touch from the procession of life? I'm going to ask you. I'm going to say this. All of us. All of us need to experience it today. Amen. I'm going to say a prayer. We're going to open this altar. I'm going to turn it over to the worship team. And we're going to praise our way out of here today. Yeah. Everybody okay with that?
Yeah.
With me.
Yeah.
Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, God, we come to you this morning. We come to you this morning, Lord. For everything that's represented in this place, every bondage, every march of death, every march of the procession of death, God, I believe that this morning that we're going to have a new procession leave this building. The enemy has come in like a flood, but you're going to raise up a standard. And God, lives are going to be touched in here. People are going to be set free today. God, someone walked into this place that was struggling, and you're going to break them free today. You're going to break them free in Jesus' name. God, we trust that your prophecy is still for today, still for your church. God, have your way in people's lives today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn over to the worship team. We're going to open up our altar this morning. That's where we want you to be, in the altar this morning. If you're believing God for a touch, that puts you in that procession of life. Amen. Who's with me this morning? I'm going to ask our prayer partners to come on up here. Our missionaries are going to be here to pray with you this morning. I'm going to turn it over to our worship team. Garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Amen.
My God, how great you are. How great, how great you
you are. How great, how great you are.
moment when all those people were standing outside that city. And I don't know what they were saying on their way out, but it wasn't the same thing they were saying on their way back. And for you and I this morning, I don't know what we said when we came in here, but as I leave, I'm going to say how great is our God. Because I know God met with us today, and I believe God touched some people in here today, and I'm excited about that. Amen? Father, in Jesus' name, we glorify you this morning because you met with your people. Lord, there were lost and hurting people, and you met with us. You came and you touched us. God, there was something dead that we were carrying, and I believe you brought back life to people, restoring lives, restoring emotions, restoring every area of our life. Lord, we're going to sing out here when we leave about how great you are. Thank you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, God bless you this morning as you go. Thank you so much for being here with us. We'll see you at the mulch party tomorrow at 9 a.m. in the parking lot. You have a great week. Be blessed. God bless you. We'll see you back real soon. No, thank you.